I've come to Sydney to speak to Amanda White, a woman with an intellectual disability. Both her parents also have an intellectual disability, which is why she was removed from them as a child. So when Amanda found out that she was pregnant and with twins, she was determined to keep her children. She was also pretty excited.
I had to ring my godmother up and say, oh, I've got good news. Oh no, I've got double good news. It was good. It was good to know that I've got twin daughters.
Amanda's godmother, Margaret Spencer, has known her since she was a child.
I remember the first time that I went to see Amanda after she'd had the twins. And of course, we were very worried when she was pregnant. We were worried how she was going to cope. You know, when I walked into that room and I saw her holding Lily and I saw the look in her eye and her utter love for this little baby, I could see how much she really wanted to be a mum. And I think it was at that point, you know, all my fears sort of then went to, no, we just have to do this. We have to give her this chance.
Can you tell me about some of the early days, like when they were babies and toddlers, what that was like?
Tiring, heaps tiring. I was tired too much. You're running after kids, you're trying to bottle feed them, you're trying to, you know, make sure that they're healthy and that they're getting fed properly, and it's just hard work.
Something had changed in Amanda from being a 21-year-old young woman to now becoming a young mum. And that's what she was. She was a young mum and she had a lot of things going against her in terms of she didn't have stable housing at that point, and, you know, she'd come from being in foster care and she didn't have natural family around us. So that's when we decided we'd build a family around her and around the girls. And I think that's what we've tried to do, haven't we?
Yes, you have done that. Yeah.
And that's something that we've done together, really. But that's only really been possible because of Amanda, because Amanda has reached out for that. She's looked for family. She's known that she's needed family to rear her girls. And nobody parents kids alone. Everybody parents them with other people. People look at our situation and go, oh, that's extraordinary. But I think it's very ordinary because it's what people do. But we've just managed to achieve it, not in sort of the natural biological family, extended family scene.
How much support have you given Amanda, especially in the early days?
Look, it's been all of those things that any young mum would need in terms of being able to ring up and say the kids are unwell. We used to take them a lot for weekends, didn't we?
Yes, you
because
did.
You know, often, you know, 7 days a week was pretty tough.
Yes, it was.
And so often either you would come with the girls to us.
Yeah.
So she'd often come over and just come and stay, which would mean that she could have a respite, be around the girls, but we'd look after them. So a lot of weekend respite. And it's really been those telephone calls like, they're running a temperature, what should I do? You know, Lily's fighting with Beth or Beth's fighting with Lily. They're driving me crazy and just needing that telephone call. I think the other thing that we realised early, didn't we, Amanda, is that if we got formal supports involved, often they used to come in and they would immediately go to a child protection mode, didn't they? They'd immediately want to sort of go, other children at risk, and they'd always, it was always this thing, Amanda's managing now, but, will she manage in a year? Will she manage in 2 years? And my thing was, parenting is developmental. You learn how to do it along the way. But people, because I had that assumption that being a parent with an intellectual disability that she wouldn't be able to do it, they looked for problems. And instead of going, well, how do we actually support this? She was under the watch of the Child Protection Services. There weren't any issues, but she had an open file. And the caseworker from Child Protection rang Amanda. And Amanda had the two little babies on the double bed. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so she's talking to the worker and one of them rolled off the bed. And Amanda's on the phone and she goes, oh, look, I've got to go. Bethy's just fallen off the bed. Right? And the caseworker rings me and this is what she said. She said, I've spoken to my manager. You've got 12 hours to have the child seen by a doctor and we need a medical certificate to say she's okay. Otherwise, we're coming in to remove the children. So we're waiting in this 24-hour medical centre to get a doctor to see them. And the child was perfectly okay, like it was nothing wrong with the child. So we go into the doctor and he looked at me and he goes, oh, a child this age, you could throw from the first floor of a building and they wouldn't break anything. So we got our medical certificate and we left. That weekend I've got the kids and I'm on parenting duties and I've got them on the bed. And this time Lily rolls off the bed and I wasn't on the phone to child protection. I pick her up, look at her, give her a cuddle. I go, you're okay. And nothing happens. And I sort of like, it was just the double standard.
She didn't even ask me for help.
Beth and Lily are now happy 14-year-old girls. Do you think your children know that you have a disability?
I think the girls know that I've got a mild to moderate intellectual disability. It's more in learning than it is in parenting.
What would you say to people that might potentially think that you're not capable to be a parent?
Parents with intellectual disabilities can be parents. I've looked after my kids since they were babies till they're 14 years old.
What do you feel for the parents that do have intellectual disabilities and they lose their children? What do you feel for them?
That they should be given a fair go and give, you know, a chance to live their life with their kids and not be judged.
In Melbourne, I meet another mum with an intellectual disability whose story is very different from Amanda's.
Good, how are you? Yeah, lovely to meet you too.
Thank you so much for coming today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Lovely to chat.
Yeah.
This is Susan Arthur. 10 years ago, she had a baby girl. But she was told by Child Protection that she needed 24 hours a day support. Otherwise, they wouldn't let her keep her baby.
I did try my hardest to get it, but at the time I was under a different plan and the people who organised the disability support services were saying that I wasn't a person who came under the jurisdiction of needing 24/7 support, so that I wasn't going to get it just because, you know, that I've had a child and may need it.
Susan's daughter was removed from her care when she was just a baby, and ever since, the child's been raised by her paternal grandmother.
I'd say it was because of the support not being there that we lost her. I think sometimes Child Protection or anyone looks at it needing support and they think it's going to cost so much money, but you can look at it as educating a parent, and once the parent's learnt whatever it is, then you don't need to provide that support because the child's always changing. So as the child changes, teaching the parent new things. Yeah.
Do you miss her when you don't get to see her?
Yeah, I miss her a lot.
What does that feel like?
It just feels, I don't know, like an empty spot in your life.
And how often do you get to see your child?
Basically, when she wants to, it would be roughly school holidays or special occasions. So I'll see her on her birthday. She knows I'm here. She knows that Mum and Dad both love her to bits. And the only reason she's not with us is because we can't do everything for her, and she knows that, so... Yeah.
Do you think that is the case? Do you think that you couldn't do everything for her?
I think if I had support, I could. If I didn't have that support, no, I probably couldn't.
Do you think parents with intellectual disabilities should have their children in their home?
I think they should, with the right support and the support they say they need. I think that they should have their children in their home. It feels like you're not seeing them, but you know they're there I often used to say, you know, they've got support networks out there for parents who have lost the child for SIDS or something, but there's not much support there for a parent who doesn't have their child living with them but they're still alive. So, you know, they talk about coming to terms with grief, but that sort of grief, you can't come to terms with it that easily.